Hello, hello. Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. By now, you know my tag, Black British mother of West Indian descent with two children aged 19 and now 17, because my youngest had her birthday recently, and we are all based in London, UK. Not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So today I was trying my best to come up with a lovely snaggy title of some kind. So I started off with, you can't be serious. And then it was, vaccination for who? So I think what I'm going to be talking about, it's about, so you think Black and ethnic people should have the vaccination first, huh? Look, it's taken me a long time to think about talking about this because I wanted to come here with some thoughts that were finished, but I soon realized that this stuff is going to play out for some time. So why should I think that I'm going to have all the answers? It's not going to happen. So, you know, I've been waiting and I've been watching. And I knew somehow this crap was going to play out just somehow. But I was hoping. When I first saw the suggestion a few weeks back that they wanted to roll out this vaccine to Black and ethnic people and frontline workers, I thought, ignore it, it's fake news. But you see, when Matt Hancock came up with his update and made this specific thing a reality, I was like, so yet again, we're guinea pigs for the world. But now you've taken time to create a backdrop to justify why this vaccine, that I don't even know if you have actually tested or approved yet, you want to come give it to me and my community? I'm sorry. You want to prioritize those who are over 50? Well, that's me. And those who are Black or ethnic? That's me. Frontline workers, although that's not me, but you don't care. If I say I'm not going to take this fake vaccine, what then? Will I be seen as a leper by the wider community? Will the fact that I refuse to have the vaccine impact jobs I may wish to do in the future? When I actually looked at the published national health figures for early June, the data did not support the consistent presentation that the media has churned out, that Black and ethnic people are dying disproportionately in comparison to our white counterparts. Your data did not support that early June. What, you're trying to tell me that now it does? But you already made up your minds that you were going to vaccinate us with this vaccine, this made up vaccine. This is all my opinion, but it's made up vaccine, right? Just because some Black people have come out to protest, or young people, they've come out to protest against the fact that fellow brothers and sisters are being killed by the police. Yes, I know that. Have supporters of the far right been out to protest and protect statues? Yes, they have. Have others been out to support, in support of Black Lives Matter? Yes. So will someone somewhere now try to use these incidents to justify the increase in COVID-19 numbers? What do you think? Protect the most at risk first. Really? When did you care? I just don't understand how you think people are not paying attention to the information that you're serving. Black Lives Matter now, so let's vaccinate them to just show how much we care. Really? No, I don't think so, honey. I don't trust your agenda. If Black Lives really mattered, you would have done something about that long, 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 long time ago. Right now, I'm tired and I'm suspicious of you. Companies suddenly taking afternoons off in respect of Black lives and distancing themselves from slavery legacy. Listen, you have had hundreds of years to reap the benefits of compensation given to you and your ancestors. You have put such structures and institutions in place that it will take a hundred of years to dismantle. Yet you want me to believe, right, that the 100 million or so that you're hurriedly giving out will solve any issues. Really? What? You're showing that you care now when 10 years prior to the Windrush scandal, you've been using or been doing your rubbish and dipping people, mashing up those who legitimately been in this country for years, paying taxes, contributing and building Britain up, and they called it home. Cared so much that you destroyed all landing card records when you as a nation love to record all your stuff. And even slave records are still intact in some museum. And you want me to believe it was an accident that those records that could prove that tens of thousands of people have the right to remain in this country was destroyed by accident? You think so me a idiot? You think so me a fool? By accident? You care now? But when in 1947, when you realized that people who you had informed were subjects of Her Majesty the Queen, while they lived abroad in their own homes, were now going to come to the UK to start working behind the scenes. They came over here to start working. What did you do behind the scenes? You start to change the law to ensure that they would never be able to settle. And while people fought amongst themselves, you just carried on doing what you were doing quietly behind the scenes, yeah? And start to change things up. Go look up your history, because it's all documented, because we know that British people love to document shit. Oh, sorry. They love to document stuff, right? You care now, but back then you preferred anyone, even ex-prisoners of wars, people to settle in the UK because they could blend into your communities. Please, just let me stop there, because I'm so angry that you think we're still just foolish. This is why you target the young with your Mickey Mouse media. It's digestible in minutes and just damages their brains. And don't want to encourage them to read or know their own history, because it will, one, cause problems for you, and two, your own people will challenge the decisions you're making. You couldn't even have the Prime Minister of Britain deliver this message. Mr. Hancock, poor you, poor you. You fling up the front like a lamb to slaughter, innit, to give the news. But, you know, there's a reason. Because Boris has made his position clear. And by distancing himself from some of these messages, he may think he can create some wiggle room for later. But it's clear to me and others that this man's views on population control is well known. Please do your own research around this man. He's getting paid grands to write his point of view as some editor or something for some paper. Right? So he's been churning out his thoughts for years. This is the man that Una vote for, right? He's got the same kind of thoughts in common with Bill Gates and others who have so much money and influence behind the scenes that it's scary to even envisage or think about what they got planned. If we think that Hitler was an issue, We should seek to learn from history, because that same crap can come and repeat itself. And it can all be done in the best possible taste, like a worldwide virus that begins the justification for the loss of our freedom, liberty, and egalitarian, or equality, whatever the phrase is, right? If you think that Netflix giving preference to black movies is going to change things for the future for me and my kids, think again. If you think that television now putting on black films, or the National Theatre Company streaming black shows such as Small Island by Andrea Levy, if you think that those things are showing that black lives matter, think again. Call me ungrateful, but I just want to be clear. Where money is really needed is to help black people heal, connect with themselves and each other, build their communities and businesses. And that is just part of the work that needs to be done. You pouring out money to salvage your conscience is nice to see, but it's short-lived. It's like giving drugs to an addict who has just tasted or had their first hit. They might have no sense and just want more. Before you know it, the drug has taken hold and nothing matters anymore but the fix. This should be an image that we're all familiar with, because this has been what black characters have been seen to be like on TV for ages. If a black man isn't a drug addict, he's a pusher. This is in films, right? On telly. If he's not a drug addict, he's a pusher. If he isn't a pusher, he's a gangland man. If he isn't a yardie or gangman, he's a dysfunctional man or father. Even when a black actor does a body of good work in films and theatre, he wins an Oscar for one piece of work that reinforces he is corrupt at the core. And I'm talking specifically what I remember. I remember Denzel Washington winning an Oscar, and I think it was for some film where he played some corrupt cop. I remember, what's her name, Halle Berry, winning an Oscar for some mental woman role. The people who are solid are not hailed nationally as solid, are they? No. It's just that I don't know them then. But lots of other people do, don't they? Is that how it works? Sorry if I am wrong, but, you know, please inform me, because in my reality, what I'm seeing is that people are getting excited that suddenly we're being offered the money they think we're due. And with the best will in the world and with a great level of respect, some of us aren't ready for it. Why? Because some of us don't have the experience of handling money. My relationship with money has always been about working hard for my money and then saving it up to spend it on something like a car, nice clothes, holidays. Other people I know, they buy a house or houses. But some live in council flats and drive like a Range Rover, which I've always thought was odd, because if you can afford that type of car, Range Rover, you should be able to afford the house that it should be sitting outside of, right? I mean, how can you be in a council place and have a Range Rover outside? Range Rover is supposed to sit outside bigger house, isn't it? Well, that's just my limited thinking. Not everyone has to flash the cash, but learning to use our money the same way that our white counterparts have and do should be something we learn to do. You know, there's enough get rich schemes out there. I should know. I've been in enough of them and I've fallen prey to them. But what I'm trying to say is that throwing money at a problem isn't going to solve the problem. when institutional racism creates barriers, you need to dismantle the barriers. I don't hear anyone on national TV talking about dismantling the barriers. Or am I deaf? I must be deaf. Come, you can't hear nothing. What about the implicit discrimination that favours my white counterparts rather than my black parents? I'm talking about mortgage, yeah? Because some of their criterias favour, some of the things they're asking for favour my white counterparts. You know, at the end of the day, some of the questions that they're probably asking, oh, I'm assuming, right? It's not, no, I'm not even assuming. I'm telling you. That's why white parents can guarantor their pitney them £500,000 debt, yeah? Because they've got that built up history of working or having money, right? And I'm not saying my parents haven't worked. My mother worked for 40, 50 years in this country, yeah? But ain't nobody willing to use her as a guarantor. They're not prepared to see her as a guarantor. I would, because at the end of the day, my mother's worked for 40, 50 years and she's paid every debt that she's had. Yeah, but I don't think the system works. When you've got debt, how does it work again? It's like if you can show them that you have debt and that you will pay off, then they'll give you more debt. Whereas my mother was very much like, don't have a debt. If you take out something, you work and you pay that debt off. You don't miss any payments, you pay it off, which proves in her mind that you're a good person, good debt payer, right? But the system doesn't work like that, yeah? The more credit you have, the more you can't pay your bills, the more high your, your credit rating. I don't know, mate. I just think it's backwards. My parents, I just know that when they took out debt, they never miss a payment. And I know as well that during COVID-19, the fact that you can have mortgage breaks may have been taken by some because a debt is a debt and it needs to be paid, while there are others who will file for bankruptcy to offset the debt. You hear what I'm saying? If you know how to play the system, you can wiggle like a snake. When you apply for a job, but your name gives it away that you're from a black and ethnic minority, what do you do? Because that is institutional racism, isn't it? Is it? I'm not even going to discuss is it or isn't it. I'm telling you, my name tells you that I am not British. And even if my name is British, there are certain assumptions people will make from the surname. I know, because I used to see it when I was working at certain places. CVs would come in and they would say, this name. And it would be looked at in, 6 seconds and put on the no pile. Not even looking at your qualifications and what you have and what you don't have. But just they can't even pronounce your bleeding name, so they'd put it on a no pile. When you apply for a job, but your name gives it away. That's what I was saying. Or when you're working and a promotion arises that you want to apply for, but you're told that you don't have the skills for the job, yet you are considered good enough to train the person who eventually gets the job that you have been told that you're not good enough to get. I find that ironic. You heard what I said. You don't get the job because you're not good enough, but you are good enough to train the person who gets the job. I remember being unemployed, right, and decided to use my skills to volunteer for a well-known charity who will remain nameless. but they have huge annual campaigns. So I answered phones, advised members of the public. I did mail outs, huge mail outs. I collated and updated electronic databases and merged information. I liaised with people inside and outside the business and encouraged people to fundraise, especially people from the public. Anyway, a post for another fundraising assistant arose, and I was basically doing the job. So I applied. I did not get it. No problem. When I asked for feedback, so, you know, as to why I didn't get the job, so I could look at improving the area that they told me was a weakness. They said to me that my IT skills were not as good as the person who had been appointed. Now, remember what I said. My IT skills were not as good as the person who had been appointed. All good, in my mind, anyway. I needed to further develop the areas. Or develop that area. So imagine my surprise when the person who actually got the job came to work in the office and didn't even know how to send an email. Of course, I kept my mouth shut and just got on with my allocated work. However, when they saw fit to allocate me to this person to assist them, it became clear that this person didn't have IT skills and was expecting to use me to do their work for them. I was not having it. I was not having any of it. And so what I did was I offered myself out to others to help them to do their work so that I couldn't assist this person who had more skills than me and hence got the job. Too often this happens in workplaces and no one bats an eyelid. Now, if I got mad and started shouting, "This was unfair, this is unfair," I already know the picture that would have been painted of me. Angry black woman. How many times has that label been used? Countless. Even to the point where I've had to ask myself if I'm actually angry or was I just being assertive in expressing my own voice and views? Why is that so threatening? Oh boy. But, you know, when something's for you, no one can take it away. So I'll just leave that story there. When my daughters, right, wanted a cake, I told them that we could bake it rather than buy it. Anybody got time for that? I could see the disappointment in their face. But what I was trying to say was that they should wait and we can create this together. That's if I had the energy. You know what that's like as a parent. Anyway, how do we change the system? It's taken them long time to implant the system. So just like making a cake, we're going to have to bake it from scratch. Many of us know about that now that we've been in lockdown. What are you going to do? Just dismiss the lesson learned from this lockdown and go back to the way things were before? Nah, I don't think so. Even though things look like they have eased, I'm still baking and making things from scratch. Why? Because although they take some time, they taste better. So, let's bake a cake to address things. Because if we don't, our village may end up being burnt down. And that is not a threat. It's a warning. So I'm ending. I'm stopping right there because there's enough to talk about in other things. But, you know, remember, like, share, follow, comment, do what you got to do. You know, you want to be interviewed, you want to talk about things from your point of view on the parenting. That's cool too. I've got some more interviews lined up, and I want us to think about building our community moving forward. We're going to have to break some eggs. We really are. And we're going to have to, you know, make some mistakes, but we've got to. Everyone keeps telling me how this is an opportunity, you know, seize this opportunity. That just smacks to me like we've only got 5 minutes. And to build a village, to build a community takes longer than 5 minutes, people. So thanks for listening. Wishing you and your loved ones daily blessings. Remain safe. Until next time, I'm out.